So yesterday we had the, I think it was the ESPN story that came out and had the ranking of the NFL teams 1 to 32, who has the brightest future, and kind of looking at the years 2027 to 2029, those three seasons there. Who's got their window of opportunity here? And the Lions ranked third, which I thought was a little bit higher than where they should have been, but I understand why they had it there. I think there are a couple teams definitely I'd have ahead of Lions, and I think the Lions are in this second tier of teams that I could see them anywhere from, say, 5 through 10, something like that. And yet they were at 3. And I understand the reason for hope that the window is here, because they've got the quarterback that settles things down, even though he's not dynamic with his feet. He's incredible with what's between his ears, and he gets the ball where it has to be. Throws 30 touchdowns, 4,500 yards, book it. That's what he does. At least is what he's done for the last 3 years. He's done that. They've got weapons around him. The weapons are young. It's not like St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Jamison Williams and Sam Laporta are old guys. These are younger players, and three of those guys are signed long-term, and Laporta probably gets a deal after this season or during the season. And they've got the best left tackle in football. There's reason to be optimistic about the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. They've locked in Jack Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson. I think they have the right coach with the right mentality. And this year, I like how they've gone about more business-like approach this year after failing to make the playoffs last year. They're pissed about it. They got a giant chip on their shoulder and go do it. Now, there's holes in this team for sure. But based on the signings that they've made, re-signing their own guys who would be free agents, that's the philosophy they've gone with. And I know a lot of people don't love that because they like the bright, shiny things that are players from other teams that people covet because they're on somebody else's team. The grass is always greener and they want them to spend the free agent money or go after this guy. When the Lions have said, yeah, that's great, but if we did that, we'd create a hole and then we wouldn't have this guy that's on our team. So we would, you know, you're going from one resource instead of just going from your source. I look at this and I don't disagree with the thought that this team is in a window right now. And Brad Holmes doesn't like to use the term windows, and I think that's ridiculous because it is. There are windows of opportunity. But I think it's directly tied to the contract extensions that they've given out. So I think that idea that ESPN has between 2027 and 2029, that's where this window is and that's why they like them. I agree with that because of the contracts. But you asked an interesting question. And that is, are the Lions at the beginning, the middle, or the end of this Super Bowl window, this opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl? And I'm more of the thought that they are at the beginning of this window or close to that. Maybe the beginning already happened a year or two ago. But I think the window is more than just a three-year window. So I still think they're towards the beginning of it, just getting to maybe the middle portion of it where they can compete for a Super Bowl championship, because this team is very talented. They've got, I think it's 6 of the top 88 players in the National Football League based on the NFL 100 list.
I think the biggest reason they're in, I'm going to say not the beginning, but the middle of the window, is because they've done such a good job of keeping that core together. Now, do you think they learned something about extending Kirby Joseph that maybe we want to wait a little bit longer? Like maybe the bill that they're paying for Kirby Joseph, does that mean Sam Laporta is going to have to wait longer because they're worried about his potential health and availability, right? Like we got burned with Kirby Joseph. Sam, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. It's interesting, these ESPN articles. You got different people writing these articles. A few weeks ago, they came out with the best under 25 talent, and the Lions were 23rd because Kirby Joseph, Sam Laporta, Penne, and Jamison no longer fit the under 25 rankings.
If you're not under the age of 25, then you can't qualify, and they don't have many players in it. But if you look at like 25 to 30, they're flooded.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a young roster.
Absolutely flooded. And then you have this article led by Seth Walder that has the Lions third overall immediate future. I think they're in the middle of their Super Bowl window right now, which makes seasons like last year all the more painful because it feels like it was a lost year right entering the middle of the window.
And injuries will rob you of that opportunity. And of course, bad play does too. And I think it was a combination, but I think injuries were certainly the bigger part of that. So if you think they're in the middle of the window, then how long does this window stay open? When is the end of the window?
I'm going to go 3 years from now.
So the 29 season.
29 season.
And I think that's kind of fair. And I forget when Goff's contract is up, but I think it might be 2030 when he's up. And they're going to have to figure something out at that point. I don't know how long he's going to be playing 3 or 4 years from now, but right now I think he's in the prime of his career. But I think it's fair. And maybe we're splitting hairs here with me saying in the beginning, but I think it's like the end of the beginning towards the middle.
Yeah.
You're in the middle. But where do the people have it at? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Or do you think that the Lions are even in the window? Do they even have a window? Are you that disgusted with how things have gone that you're like, this team isn't good enough for it to win a Super Bowl now or in the future? 248-539-9797 is a telephone number, same number to text. Are the Lions at the beginning, the middle, or the end of their Super Bowl window? To the phones we go. Robert is first up in St. Clair. Hey, Robert, welcome to 97.1.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I think they're in the middle of it, but I think they need a different coach. They have an extremely easy schedule coming up. They half of the teams that they play are under 500. Okay, they should win those games. But this coach is not within the top 3 or 4 coaches in the NFL. I think you guys would have to agree with that.
Well, great, but you're not going to get one of those other 3 coaches then, are you?
No, but
why do you want to get rid of the coach?
Well, from the play calling and the chances that he takes, I certainly don't think that he's the caliber coach that our players have right now.
Now, I would disagree. I think Dan Campbell is a very good coach in the National Football League. I think if he were let go by the Lions, he'd have a job tomorrow.
Robert, let me ask you this question. Who is principally responsible for the turnaround the Lions have had?
Well, I would say the general manager.
Okay, so you give the credit to Brad Holmes, none to Dan Campbell.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. You were talking yesterday, and you were talking about how he's learning to become a coach. Okay, learning? We're not here to train a coach. We need a coach immediately because we're in the middle of a
neither one of us said that, so I don't know where you come up with that. Maybe somebody else said on the station, but and thanks for the call. No, it's not on the job training anymore, right? I mean, when they first hired him, they gave him the opportunity. They gave him a chance. They saw something that they liked. They got the committee together, and they interviewed a bunch of guys. I'm glad Chris Spielman was part of that committee. They loved the energy Campbell had. He had a little bit of run with the Dolphins when he was an interim coach there and had some real positive feedback. And when Dan Campbell came on the scene here, it was interesting to say the least, you know, biting kneecaps and all that in the speeches. And it took a while before it started to pay off, but you could see it. You could see the team and the culture starting to change. And by the end of that first season, it had definitely changed. You get to that second season, and it had absolutely changed. And by the third year, you're winning 12 games. You win the division. You go in a couple playoff games. This team's believing in themselves. They go to a 15-2 season after that. And with all the injuries and whatnot, and then they had a bad game. They had a horrible game in the playoffs against Washington. Can't have a bad game at that time. It's the postseason. It torpedoes everything. And it's exactly what happened. Goff had a terrible game. I could say Ben Johnson had a terrible game with that one. Injuries again last year. I think what we've learned about Dan Campbell is there are things you're going to have to accept with Dan Campbell, and you may not like them. You may not like he's always going for it on fourth down, that he's a gambling man. But if you say that, you have to understand that part of the success of this team is tied into that philosophy. So you can say, I don't like him going for fourth down. Okay, fine. Then you're punting all the time, and guess what? You're probably going to lose some of those games.
The general manager picks the ingredients. The head coach makes the meal. Robert doesn't value the guy making the meal. You still got to put all the ingredients together, make it a cohesive unit, make it a family, achieve buy-in from the players that you have. Dan Campbell has done all of that. Is he without fault? No. But Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are 1A and 1B as being principally responsible for the Lions going from a laughingstock to a legitimate contender year after year?
Yeah, they've definitely, I mean, look, I'll give you an instance where Dan Campbell coached this team up with Jared Goff. Jared Goff was a bit of a reclamation project because I think he was shattered by what happened with the Rams, that Sean McVay had given up on him, cast him aside, thrown him under the bus, ran him over with that bus, and then had to come back to him and say, hey, I know we did that to you, but we need you to play this playoff game. I know it's just a week after surgery on your hand. Can you do us a favor? And he goes out and he wins the playoff game. And then he still gets cast aside. And they end up trading him to the Lions as part of the staff.
Blindsided him in the main side.
Yeah. Gets traded here. And at that time, nobody wants to come to Detroit. And nobody knows what's laying in wait with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. They don't know. And that first season was a rough season for the first few games. And Dan Campbell had a heart-to-heart with Jared Goff about, hey, we're going places, but we're not going to go anywhere unless you get better. We have to get you to be a better player. And from that moment on, Jared Goff played at a much higher rate. That's coaching players up. Now, is he the best coach in the National Football League? Nope. But he is, I think he's probably in that second tier of coaches, maybe at worst the third tier of coaches, but not to the point where I'm looking to replace him.
He's not the problem. He's not the thing standing in the way of you and winning a Super Bowl.
I don't think he is, but I think people might think that. Some people do. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Are you in the beginning stage, the middle stage, the end stage, or no stage and thinking that this team has a Super Bowl window? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.